Podcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Hello, everybody. This is Chip Lusko setting in for Jim Williams on this fine Friday afternoon. Hope you are well. Not much happening in the news, so let's look at some sports scores. Oh, wait, there are no sports scores. Strange days, folks, and we're here to remind you that Deuteronomy tells us, do not be terrified, do not be afraid. We have great comfort and great promises. Also a great challenge in Joshua, where the Lord instructs us, be brave and be courageous. Now, this is a time for information and not for hesitation. Glad to have you with us. Again, Chip in the studio. I've got my jumbo-sized hand sanitizer and my Lysol here, so I am prepared. Come on, Corona, we're ready for you. And seriously, it's an interesting time. We need to take it seriously, prepare for the worst, and pray for the best. And in my recollection, there's never been a time quite like this, certainly in American history. And it's gone global, and we've never seen anything quite like it. So we're treading on new territory, and that includes our friends over in Israel. And we're bringing in by phone right now a good friend of mine and of this ministry, and that's Bill Welsh from Refuge Calvary Chapel. Bill, where are you in Israel?
I'm sitting up on a porch looking over the very, very dark Sea of Galilee right now. We're up in the town of Migdol, north of Tiberias. It's 9 o'clock at night right here. And we're over here with a hiking tour. I take out every other year, I take a group of people hiking in Israel. And we got here just before the ban hit on the Israeli side. So been in since Sunday or Monday evening. So I'm in Israel.
Well, I was on the wrong side of the ban. I was supposed to fly out Monday, and that's not happening. So I'm happy for you being there. I wish I could join you.
Yeah, and you know what? There's plenty of toilet paper and hand sanitizer here. Just so you know, that's where it all went.
I mean, this is kind of like a Far Side commercial in some ways, but it's deadly serious in others, you know. And we've got to find that balance. Are the sites full of tourists or is it vacant? What's it like over there right now?
They're really empty, Chip. It's incredible. We kind of threw the itinerary out the window when we saw what was happening and knowing that there were some storms coming through. We heard before we left about the locust. I mean, it's sounding, you know, as they say.
Wait. What locust?
Biblical.
Bill, roll that back. What locust?
Down in Egypt. A locust plague in Egypt. And then listen to this. We were booked to be down in Eilat, which is the very southern tip of Israel. Israel's about half the height of California. It's about the size of New Jersey. So from top to bottom, you could fit two Israels into the state of California. But we were getting ready to go down there on Monday night to do some hiking and probably some swimming in the Gulf of Aqaba. And we heard there was a storm coming in from Egypt, a massive sandstorm, which I just found out. I don't know if you know the John and Judy Pecks down there, Chip. They've been over here for close to 40 years. Great, great Christian couple. They were hippies that met each other after they got saved here in Israel. But I just had a conversation with him, and he said this storm that's about to hit southern Israel is the worst in the history of that town of Eilat. In the 71 years of their history, there's never been anything like what they're anticipating right now. He said it'll tear the city up. He said it'll probably, you know, do some real damage to the coral reef that is so precious down that way. But it just one thing after another. And I don't want to rattle on, but I don't know how it feels where you're at, but the one passage that comes to my mind is in Luke 21, where it says it's a season when men's hearts will fail them for fear.
Well, please, first of all,
I know that specifically is talking about the second coming,
right?
Jesus, but my goodness, if we're ready to fight over toilet paper and hand sanitizer, what's it going to be like?
Right. Well, first of all, Bill, please rattle on. We want to hear from you. Really appreciate your insight and your perspective, sitting there above the Sea of Galilee right now. And this does seem to have some of the ingredients of almost biblical proportions. I mean, it's nothing at this point compared to what you find in Revelation, where you, you know, a third of the ocean. And this does have pandemic parts to it, does it not?
Oh yeah, I think what's unique to this in my lifetime and yours is it is so global. And then, you know, traveling all over the world so quickly and the way this stuff is going and the way now with the, I kind of look at social media and so much of the internet as what used to be just a dark alley and a guy with a spray can. It's just graffiti on bricks, but now it's, you know, graffiti that comes off of our keyboards on the dark alley of the web. And so the fear that's attached to this and the panic is, you know, I thought about this earlier, Chip, that it's not always what happens, but it's how we respond to what happens that causes this hyper reaction to what is certainly an issue. I mean, it's a big health issue. Just ask anybody that's lost a loved one. But it doesn't compare to past ones yet, but it's the way that we're responding to it with such pandemonium.
Well, the other thing I find really curious, Bill, and I'd like your thoughts on it, and not to be a conspiracy guy as such, but I look for precedents. You know, we're setting a standard here to how to respond in the future. And one of the things we're seeing, the tremendous power the government can exert over our daily lives, they're like, whoa. I mean, this is just like one step below martial law. Now, it's being done for a benevolent purpose right now. But it does remind us that may not always be the case. It certainly hasn't always been the case in other societies in the past.
No, absolutely. And, you know, and what we've been trying to sort out here on not even day-to-day, but it's on an hourly basis of, you know, one of our president's favorite phrases, fake news, trying to determine what is real and what's just, you know, being spoken even over here in the Jerusalem Post, where it sounds like you're getting a get out of Dan. Did you catch that? Not out of Dodge, but out of Dan. But get out of Dan, you know, order to pack your bags and go home. And that's really not the case. The people that have been found symptomatic, you know, with the coronavirus are being quarantined or asked to quarantine themselves. But there hasn't been an all-out, everybody out of the country. And so just trying to sort out what's fake news from the real news, and, you know, with our governor in California where I pastored, calling, making a recommendation one day, and then the next day moving that more towards a requirement that, you know, limiting the number of people that you can put into any kind of assembly hall, not just a church, but schools shutting down and sports. And no, well, there is March Madness. It's this that we're dealing with right now. It's a very different kind of madness around the world. But, you know, when you see the systems you have trusted in and leaned upon, even if it's just for a little bit of entertainment to brighten your day at the end of the day, and those systems are fragile. People are running for cover.
Yeah, I think.
But it's great news for us.
Yeah, well, it could be. I think for those of us trying to wrap our minds around it and get a balance and not be, you know, extremist in either direction, I kind of, like the Olympic scoring, I throw out the high and the lows. I mean, the mayor of New York and of California, I mean, they banned straws and they're reactionary. So I'm not paying attention so much to that. But when I see Israel shutting down all incoming tourists, they're putting them in 14-day quarantine, I go, okay. I mean, they play hardball in Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. They know what they're doing. So there's also the possibility that, in obvious truth, they know more than we do, Bill. I mean, there's more below the line here.
Yeah, absolutely, no question. I was down by the Sea of Galilee. We were texting about this earlier over at the Jesus Boat Museum. And I think I sent you a picture that the hall there was empty except for three workers huddling around a table looking at a video on somebody's phone. And then I walked outside where the Jesus boats, you know, the worship boats take off full of, you know, 100 or so Christian travelers. And there's none, or there's one boat, and I walked up, and it's just a really kind gentleman just sweeping the deck, and there's nobody there. And I said, "How long do you think? What do you think?" He said, "Oh, I don't know." It'll be a while, but your heart is breaking for people whose, their income is just instantly gone. And a brother that you and I know, a guy who's a tour organizer here, and he said all of the next month has been canceled, and that just turns their livelihood right upside down. Maybe you know better than I do, but tourism is either number one or number two. I think tourism bumped up to the number one income stream into the country about 5 or 10 years ago, and now it is overnight gone. You drive up and down Highway 90, which is the north-south route along the Jordan River, where there's, you'll pass 20 tour buses in 15 minutes. And we drove for a couple of hours today and not one passed us. Mm. We're one of the very few groups that are still here in the land.
Well, there's a reason for you being there, Bill. And I was telling my wife last night, it reminds us how tentative our life really is. It just took a couple phone calls and it turned everything upside down. I mean, a trip here and events there, and now our stadium event at Calvary is canceled, which has been an institution. I just got a text from Levi. The Encounter Tour has been postponed. Nationwide tour he was planning on. I mean, it really reminds you what it says. Don't be boastful about tomorrow. If the Lord will,
right.
That really is our case. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. I've been in touch with a good friend of both your ministries there and us with Joel Rosenberg today, and we have him. I know he's booked to come to Albuquerque, and he's booked to come to Refuge in Huntington Beach in the beginning of April, but it's very, very likely that might not happen because of the if it turns into a true ban in California on how many people can assemble, then Joel is probably wiser just to head home to his family in Jerusalem. But yeah, the system, like I said, the systems are so fragile in a time like this. It's just, it's remarkable.
Well,
you didn't see it coming,
No. Well, you made light of the fact that people's shopping habits right now, and, going to Costco is a life-endangering journey right now.
Yeah.
But there's a film, Bill, the British film years ago called Threads. And the premise had to do with some kind of nuclear holocaust. But the point was how fragile the threads of society are and how easily they can break down. Mm-hmm. In particular, most of the laws we depend upon are voluntary. I mean, there simply aren't enough policemen to enforce all the traffic laws if everybody simultaneously decided to disregard them. And it made the point the same thing is true of breaking and entering and all the rest. And this is not anywhere near that yet. We've seen it in the case of riots in the past, but it could get there quicker than we can wildly imagine, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Like I was saying earlier, it's not so much what happens, but how you respond to it. And you see so many people right now as fragile as the systems. And here's the only thing that I take some hope in. We all have been praying for revival, worldwide revival, and so often the history of revival and true outbreaks of evangelism have been right on the heels, almost tandem side by side with times of great duress in a region or a state or a nation. A plague comes through, and I think people are beginning to look around for something to hold on to, and thank God, I think many, many people are beginning to look up. And if it weren't for the limitation on the number of people that are allowed in Israel. Now, listen to this. 100 people is the limit to how many people can gather into a public assembly. 100. And if that weren't the case, I think you'd see multiple hundreds of people streaming into places where there are people who are voices of hope. And my charge to all of us believers at this point is to ask God to pour out the holy boldness that he did on the day of Pentecost on us and put aside any kind of game playing and just be ready for the person he puts in the middle of our road every day. Okay. I don't have to go out and reach 1,000 people today, but there will be people that are in the middle of my road with the story. I always liken this to the story of the Good Samaritan. There's a guy beat up, stripped, and left for dead, robbed in the middle of the road. And I just happen to be on the same road, and I get a walk around him or walk up to him. And I just encourage believers to stop for the person in the middle of your road who appears to be without hope, and let them know that there is hope in Jesus Christ, and help them to look up and be bold about your faith and your confidence, your hope in Christ.
Boy, that is so good, Bill. Appreciate your perspective. Can you hang on one more segment? I know it's getting towards 9:30 there in Jerusalem or in the Galilee where you're at. And what a gorgeous place you're at. I mean, Jesus knew what he was doing. I mean, he picked a good place to have headquarters, Capernaum.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back with Bill Welsh. This is Chip Lusko in studio for Jim Williams today, ABQ Connect on KNKT. And Pastor Bill is live in Israel. And he'll be joining us for one more break. And then we have Skip Heitzig coming in to bring us up to speed on plans here at Calvary and his perspective on the goings on right now in our world. This is ABQ Connect on KNKT.
El Ranchito de los Niños transforms the lives of children who have been abused and abandoned by keeping brothers and sisters together in a loving family farmhouse and giving them tools they need for success in life. At El Ranchito, children learn self-worth by learning how much God loves them. They're also given the best education possible to help them create a new future. You can be a part of changing the lives of children at El Ranchito de los Niños by attending this year's fundraising dinner, Charity Cruise 19, Saturday night, March 21st at 5 p.m. in the Isleta Resort Casino Convention Facilities. An evening of fun, amazing food, incredible auction opportunities, and information about El Ranchito de los Niños. Auction items and sponsors are still needed. Tickets or whole tables are available. More information at 505-565-4470. That's 505-565-4470. This message is part of Mission New Mexico. Sponsored by Mark Pardo Salon Spa, New Mexico Solar Group, KNKT, and Star 88.
Here's Rob West with today's MoneyWise Minute. If you lost your job or suffered some other financial calamity, could you quickly adjust to stretch out your savings? You may need to establish priorities with a Mayday budget. And the first one is food. You have to eat, but you want to spend as little as possible on groceries. Make a meal plan and cut out the frills. Your next priority is housing. If you can't make a mortgage or rent payment, call your lender or landlord and let them know ahead of time. Ask for an extension. If you're making a car payment and you need the car to find work, that's the next priority. Then comes utilities and finally, consumer debt. This Mayday budget will buy you some time until you get back on your feet. Then you can catch up with your overdue bills.
And you can learn more about trusting God and becoming a wise money manager when you contact us online, moneywise.org, moneywise.org.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Friday afternoon, looking out at the Sandias. The sky has not fallen. Let's proceed. Bill Welsh in Israel. Hey, Bill. Good to have you.
Well done.
It's such heavy news coming down. Let me get your perspective on a light moment. You brought up the topic of revival, Bill. I know we're all looking to that, and we all want personal renewal. That's mandatory first. But this is a story from a revival in the Welsh Revival back in, I think, the 1850s, and I'm sure you've studied it. But maybe you've heard this story.
My personal Welsh Revival happened in 1970.
Oh, that's funny. Now, that right there is funny, Bill Welsh. Anyhow, in Wales, I've heard this story several times. I want you to kind of confirm or deny that there was a revival. Huh? It was nationwide, and of course, the Welsh economy was based on coal mining at that time. And the guy said, well, with a tremendous revival, the bars closed, and the meetings happened, and prayer and whatnot. He said, but the economy slowed down in Wales. And the other guy goes, why would that be? You think during a revival, people would work harder and, you know, be more diligent. He goes, well, so many coal miners got saved that they stopped cussing, and the horses couldn't understand them. So,
yeah.
It
really wasn't. And I think it just always is. I was thinking during the break there that, you know, telling people to seize the opportunity, and an evangelist and a witness is someone who does seize an opportunity. They're an opportunist, but they're not a manipulator. It's not, you know, just this cheap manipulation of it's pretty bad out there and don't you want it to be better or however, but it's seizing the opportunity to speak hope into somebody else's life that Christ is there for them. And I love the way that this, I heard a guy years ago that put it so simply like this: Jesus Christ came for us, and there is no one else coming for us in the same way that he came for us. He came once, and their hope can be found in him and everything you're looking for. And I don't know what you think about this. I'd love your take on it too, Chip. That the idea that we fill ourselves with distractions to have, so that we don't have to deal with the core issue of, you know, my sin and the weight that I carry and the guilt and the shame from my sin. And then when those systems are rocked, like I was saying earlier, that you know, I whether it's the web is down, oh my goodness, can you imagine if the web really, really went down? The people that would be running for counseling, and what would they do? But you know, it just seems like once those things are gone, we either fall or we look around or we look up. And I just love being alive at this time to be able to point people to Christ. I think this is going to be one of those things that we all look back on and say, do you remember when the coronavirus brought the world to a halt, literally, so we couldn't move around? But what an opportunity it was when people came. Remember when the towers went down, without a fancy ad campaign, our churches were overflowing on off nights. People came rushing in for a place to pray.
True. It's a pivot point, not just for America, but for the whole world. It's a new world, a new day. Bill, I appreciate your perspective. Very helpful, very insightful. Enjoy your hiking around Israel. That's for sure.
I will, man. I feel like I'm embedded in Israel.
Well, you are our covert man. We'll keep in touch, Bill, and be safe over there. Okay. And hey, before you go, what is the plan for your church in Huntington Beach?
Well, we are in a great season. I think we've been in this sort of season of transition for a while. I have been pastoring there. Can you believe this? It'll be 23 years this coming June. Wow. And I remember when I went there, Chip, you saw my route around the world. I've been, you know, the desert for 18 years and then over to Australia for 3.5 till the visas ran out, and then the honor of serving with you and Skip and the team there. And you said, Bill, go there and stay there. Well, I took your advice. I've stayed there, and I thank you for your encouragement through the years. But we know we're up against a transition, and I am pulpit sharing about 50% of the time with Jeff Wilson, although his last name is different. He is married to my daughter, Bethany, and he's just a wonderful leader and preacher, and I'm excited about the next season. My role is morphing there. I think I'll be connected for a good amount of time, but I feel like God is lifting up my eyes to pour down, you know, some more, another ministry stream in overseas, and encouraging pastors and mentoring some younger guys with whatever I have that's transferable. But Refuge is firing. It's been a great, great season.
Yeah.
And looking forward to what God's going to be doing over the Easter weekend, if I'm over jet lag by the time, or if I'm out of quarantine by the time that happens when I get back to the States. But it's a great season.
Yeah. All right, Bill, thanks for catching up.
I like following what's happening out there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same here. Well, thanks, Bill, and Godspeed to you.
Good talking with you, Chip.
Bye
Bless
now.
You. Shalom,
right.
Shalom.
Shalom. ABQ Connect, this is Chip Lusko in studio. That was our friend Bill Welsh live from Magdala in the Sea of Galilee region of Israel, bringing us up to date. We've been joined in studio now by Skip Heitzig and by Roxy from the Calvary Church Children's Department. And Skip, welcome.
Good to be here.
Good to have you here.
Hey, good to be on campus again. Been a while.
How are you?
I'm fine.
You look great.
I feel good. You know, you asked somebody that, and you could have asked me that a few weeks ago, and I said, I'm fine. And then I find out I really wasn't. So I'm maybe not the best one to ask. Probably my doctor is, but so far, so good.
What's your immediate plans for the pulpit? I have to ask that.
Well, I plan to be in the pulpit this weekend.
All right.
And to bring a message in the book of Romans. We're plowing through that book, and we have a couple more messages on that before we do that.
Looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
And I'm not alone, I can tell you that.
Yeah. It's great to be home.
And by the way, the phone lines are open here right now, 338-5790. Welcome to give us a ring and make a comment or give a question for Pastor Skip. Let's dig right in, Skip. We had a lot to talk about.
Yes, yes.
And What is your perspective scripturally on what's taking place right now? Not just day by day with the hour current events, but biblically.
You mean as far as the coronavirus,
and the,
right?
And the response to it, yes.
Okay, yeah. It's difficult. It's a fluid situation. Yes. It changes, you know, we can't say day by day, hour by hour, really. President just called a national state of emergency, national emergency, deploying National Guard now. And so it's at a different level. And basically what I understand is, you're just trying to limit the amount of spread of infection. You're trying to flatten that bell curve of people who get infected. If you can treat the same amount of people who get infected over a longer period of time, you have more success in dealing with it than glutting the system and trying to fix it and having to make decisions like, should we treat this person and not that person? You know, so you don't never want to get in a situation like that. So we're dealing with it, and it's an interesting question, scripturally speaking. First of all, the Bible says, fear not. We're not to fear. We're never to give in to panic. We're to give in to prayer and preparation. We should always be prepared, and we should always be prayed up. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Panic moves you to do dumb things and overreact. Prayer and preparation leads you to peace.
Let's get over the big ticket items at Calvary. The email came out today about what's happening and what's not.
Right. So there's a whole bunch of things that, because we want to limit exposure as well, that are being canceled. So on a weekly basis, and I have a whole list of these things, Spectrum on Thursdays at Osuna is suspended for right now for 3 weeks. Sheology is going on as planned Tuesday nights on the Westside campus. Our self-defense class is suspended. Staff rallies that we have here are suspended starting this next week. Life courses are suspended. So a host of these specialized ministries, shall we say, are put on hold right now just so we can limit exposure. These are often meetings where there's a lot of contact, but our main services, we're on for this weekend. We're on for Saturday and for Sunday. Now, I don't know what the reaction of God's people is going to be as far as them coming. It's interesting. This is not without precedent historically. This has happened before. It happened in Europe. It was called the bubonic plague, and it killed 50 million people in Europe. They did not have the medical facilities we have. But it was during the time of Martin Luther, and Martin Luther was asked specifically, what should Christians do in lieu of the bubonic plague? Should they flee the plague? And he gave a few interesting directives. He said, number one, you should attend to the sick, especially your own family. So, you know, you be at home, stay at home, take care of your family, but also don't just stay at home, and follow government guidelines. But he talked about, he said something that I think is the most practical. He said, be prepared for your own death. Which nobody wants to think about, but everybody should think about it, because there's an expiration date on every human being, whether we die in an accident or a flu or cancer or a virus. So in the very least, this should be a time when we are getting right with God and helping others whose fears have been surfaced by this, how to deal with eternity. So what we're facing is very similar to what he faced.
Well, let me add to the list you gave, Skip, some things we're involved here at The Connection. We have the Roadshow Tour has been canceled. Michael W. Smith has been canceled. And the Encounter Tour with Lisa and Levi have been canceled or postponed, as the case may be, as possible.
You know, it's funny. I've talked to Michael so many times. He goes, when are you going to have me out at your church? So I said, well, we're going to do it. So we got it, and now he can't come. But we'll do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We'll bring him back.
We've been joined in studio by Roxy, and I'm sure there's a good reason why you're here, talking about the kids' area and our school.
And she's an all-star. Let me just say that. You really are an all-star. She has been with me here at the church and is really a capable children's director. She was with me at Ocean Hills in California for the few years I was there. But she is just really somebody who she just owns that ministry. She loves those kids and loves the people that work with her. Okay.
Well, I know parents will have a question, Roxy, about what steps you're taking in preventative measures. I know you already have them in place, so if you give us an update.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. So at Calvary Kids, we want to have a safe environment. You know, we want it to be emotionally safe where kids can ask those big questions about God and feel safe in that environment to do it. And then also have that physically safe environment where it's physically safe and prepared for each classroom that's age appropriate. And then also the cleanliness of that environment. So we have three, I'd say, points that we talk about in children's ministries. So the clean environment, we are using hospital-grade peroxide cleaner. We have a great janitorial staff, and they clean before and after each service that we have. So we have the cleanliness of our rooms, and all of those cleaners that we use are approved by the CYFD. So...
How does this apply to the Calvary preschool?
That is the same procedures as well. So our policies and procedures are the same with the preschool. And then the wellness policies, we ask our families that have sick kids just to stay at home. Super simple. Just please stay at home when you've got your sick kids. And then same for our teachers and staff. When our teachers are not feeling well, they call in, we get a sub, and we just make sure that everybody in that classroom is well that day. And then the other preventive measure is we're asking kids as they come into the classroom, we've got our big jars of hand sanitizer, and we're just saying, you know, wash your hands before you come in. And they're, you know, this isn't a stretch for them. They're like, oh yeah, I know, 20 seconds, we've been asked at school.
Happy birthday twice.
Right. So, and then same for our teachers. So we ask them to come with clean hands into the classroom.
But if I'm not mistaken, Roxy, the preschool follows APS, so they're on pause till April 3rd.
That is correct. Okay. Yes. Yeah. But we will be doing Calvary Kids to support every regular service going forward until further notice.
Great. Well, we have in studio now a trio here. Dr. Dave Snyder, welcome. There's the Corona fist bump.
That is. That is right.
Well, you have information that we want to hear. What's your perspective, doctor?
So basically we're at a level 3 pandemic right now. A pandemic is, and let me explain that real briefly. Illness that goes on normally in a locale is endemic. If there's an increase in the cases that are occurring, then it's an epidemic. If it's worldwide, it's a pandemic. And as Pastor Skip was talking about earlier, there have been 10 and more great pandemics since the turn of the century. In fact, there may have been one that had something to do with the fall of the Roman Empire. This is a pandemic. It's been declared that by the World Health Organization, and obviously it's affecting many people in many countries, and it's highly contagious. It seems to be more contagious than the flu. It seems to be right now more lethal than the flu, but not by a lot. And the important thing that our government is doing, regardless of the impact on our lives, what we do in the next three weeks will make a huge difference in the impact that it has on our country, both economically, from a medical standpoint, definitely, and from an overall standpoint as a nation. If we can pull together, it seems like this ought to be something that we can pull together for and all work together. I think all of the things that are being done, the cancellation of attendance at sporting events, the cancellation of sporting events, trying in general to avoid being in large groups is all appropriate. And basically, if we do that, it will make a huge difference in the intensity of it, the deaths that occur. It won't make much difference in terms of duration. This basically is another coronavirus that's similar to the SARS virus that occurred earlier. I think when was that? Early 2000?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. It's more widespread, a little more infectious, and has spread more. I you know, I think what's being done should be done. The hoarding that's going on, you know, it's, there's an old pogo meme or cartoon that that says, we have met the enemy and he is us. Yeah, and that's true. We really have to chill and relax and put our faith where it belongs. You know, I think
good.
We've got a good government. We've got a good infectious disease system set up. It's being handled appropriately. Not everything goes as smoothly as you'd want, but that never happens. And I think we can all just relax. This'll happen. This'll die away. No one knows quite for sure how long that will die is probably not a good word to use. This'll fade out. And it, whether that happens over a few months or whether that happens, over a little longer period of time towards the end of the year, I think the repercussions from this will probably last through 2020.
Doctor, is this true that this virus doesn't thrive well in warmer climates? So as we move into warmth, it could subside, or is that we don't know yet?
No, I think that's an accurate assumption. It may or may not prove to be true, but I think it will be. The respiratory viruses. This doesn't sound good for New Mexico in one aspect. Respiratory viruses like dry cold. So that's the seasonal aspect of influenza, which is a respiratory virus. And if you look at the number of cases of COVID-19 and you look at places like South Korea where there's a huge number, and then you look at a place like Hong Kong, where there's not so many in, that have been infected. Part of the difference is cold and dry, wet and warm, you know, in those two countries.
Well, I'm glad it's raining today.
Yes, I know.
when we come back, we need to take a break right now, folks. But let's talk about one thing that we have that the Roman Empire and the bubonic plague didn't have, and that's Instagram and the impact social media is making on this going viral in the social sense of it. All right. This is ABQ Connect. Jim Williams off today. This is Chip in studio, and we have a full studio today. Dr. Dave and Roxy, good to have Pastor Skip with us. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls as well. It's 338-5790. This is KNKT.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
Do you have an old clunker or a good running vehicle? Donate it to Joy Junction. It can help bring hope to the homeless. If it's in good condition, great. If not, no problem. Running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us and we'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help? Here's Joy Junction CEO, Elma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless families, men and women, for more than 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have a new additional space to give more dignity and privacy to those who come to our doors. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, I want to personally invite you to Power Ford. We pride ourselves on giving you a better deal and a better experience. In fact, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico, or we'll put $1,000 cash in your pocket. And that's a promise. If you want to pay more, that's your business. If you want to pay less, that's ours. Visit mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque. I'm Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect on KNKT. This is Chip Lesko in studio on a happy Friday afternoon. Let's be cheerful, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
As moving towards 2 o'clock here in studio with Pastor Skip, Roxy, and Dave. This is going to be a hard question, not trying to be dramatic. We all hope things subside and it goes the way of the wildebeest, but what's a bad case scenario right now?
Can I interject something before you ask him that? Just so our audience knows, David Schneider specializes in internal medicine, right? That's your background.
You
practice a lot of different kinds of medicine, but you've been involved in this community as a medical practitioner, a clinician for many years. You're my physician. You're many people here's physician. And every time I go to David, he gives you the background. He's well-researched and almost gives you too much information that the average person can't understand, but he's doing such a good job here helping us understand. So anyway, back at you. Best case scenario, worst case scenario?
Okay. So that's a very complicated question because there's still data that's not in. Part of it involves the communicability, and that's called the R-naught factor, R-zero factor. And the R-zero factor for this illness seems to be somewhere between 2 and 3.5. For influenza, it's factored as about 1.5. For measles, the R-naught factor, which is basically how many people are you likely to pass it on to if you get this illness? So if you got measles, and this is assuming nobody's had this before and we're dealing with no immunizations, so it's a novel virus. So measles has an R-naught factor of 14. So it's highly, highly contagious. This, we think, will have an R-naught factor between 2 and 3.5. As I said, flu is about 1.5. Ebola is a little bit less. I mean, it's a much more lethal disease, but it's less in its contagiousness. It takes a lot more to contract Ebola. It's similar to SARS, which was another coronavirus. So that's one of the factors. The second factor, probably the most important factor, is what we're doing right now, and that is how many people will contract this disease. Because basically, if the R-naught factor is over 1, then it spreads, and it's not going to die out. So what we have to do then is reduce the communicability of it. What we have to do is keep people, particularly people that have symptoms or known cases, we have to keep them away from other people. I mean, that's old school, you know.
How long? I mean, this runs its course in what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah, it's a good question. It varies. So roughly 80% of people, and these are tentative, this is our initial impression, about 80% of people that contract the coronavirus, the SARS type 2 virus, the illness is called COVID-19. So if you have COVID-19, about 80% of people will be asymptomatic, or minimally symptomatic. Let's put it that way, like a cold. About 15% of people will get a pneumonia associated with it. So you can have a mild pneumonia, like a walking pneumonia. And usually that's one of those things you may not become aware of because, again, it's just you're just sicker. You just don't feel as good. But you don't think too much about it. But many of those, will, especially the older people, will end up in the hospital. And about 5% of those will end up in the ICU. And anywhere between a quarter and a half of them will die. So So right now the lethality rate is estimated to be about 3%. But that will go down because there's a lot of cases that aren't being reported. So when we get all those other cases in, we'll find out, oh yeah, a lot more people have this. Yes, we picked up the people that passed away, but we don't have the people that contracted the illness and were never diagnosed. So
what is the fatality rate of, say, the common flu, influenza?
Well, with influenza, we typically have about 30 some million cases with about 60,000 deaths. So the fatality rate for the flu is less than we think with this coronavirus. Even if we anticipate that we're overestimating.
So this is not only more communicable, but it is more lethal.
Yes. Yeah. And what makes it so bad is it's a novel virus. And that's basically what's happened throughout history with pandemics that really caught hold and spread. You have a new virus. Nobody has resistance to it. We haven't picked it up as an illness, and so we haven't developed vaccines. There was a lot of interest when SARS came out, but then the SARS seemed to go away. And so a lot of the manufacturers and drug companies and researchers said, oh, okay, so there's not such a burning need for this. So they backed off. With this happening now, the research is on. And there's a lot of promising avenues of treatment and prevention.
That's where I was going. When can we expect vaccine?
You know, the safe answer is a year or two.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. But they're talking, I thought they were talking like the next couple months.
If they are, it's news to me, you know, and there may be something. Like I said, there was some research that was done and there's some treatment that's available. There's treatments, and in fact, one of the older ones is to take people that have recovered from it and do plasmapheresis and take off some of their antibodies. And run those into people that are ill. Mm. And, of course, that would be people that were seriously ill.
Mm. Dr. Dave, I think one thing I'm struggling with, and I think a lot of our listeners are, is I understand the suppression of contagion by not being in large groups. I'm not sure the magic number of 250 means anything. But I sat in the parking lot of my health club today thinking, now, wait a minute.
Should I go in or not?
If I was the coronavirus, I'd be in the hot tub here. No. Where do you go and not go?
Yeah. The right now the guidelines are that basically level three means no non-essential travel. The size of groups varies. Some people say 250, some people say 100, some people say 10. And then the distance that you stay away from people, it ranges from 3 feet to 6 feet. So yeah, go to your dentist and have a good time with that one. I think the rationale right now is that if we get symptoms, so if we get a fever, that seems to be the hallmark. A fever is anything over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Oftentimes it's a sudden fever and the fever is higher than if you get the flu. So it may be 102, 103. If you get it's usually a dry cough that's associated with it. In about half of the cough, it becomes productive, and there's shortness of breath associated with it. So if you have a fever and a cough and shortness of breath, you should presume that you have COVID-19. And then what you should do is don't go to the doctor's office, don't go to the ER, don't go to the urgent care, don't go to the hospital. Just call one of the hospitals or one of the clinics like Optum, Press, Loveless, give them a call, whatever your insurance is, and their insurance is through, and say, listen, I have a cough and a fever, and I'm short of breath. And they'll put you in touch with a triage person. That triage person will ask you further questions, exposures, travel, that sort of thing. Then the idea is that we have ambulatory or drive-through clinics where people will be instructed to drive through. This is assuming you're not seriously critically ill, but where you'll drive through, someone will come out with appropriate protective gear, swab nose and maybe pharynx or both, and then you'll go home. And right now, all of the labs, Tricor and Quest, are gearing up, so the testing is going to be done locally and pretty quickly. So I don't know what that means exactly. I think it'll be next day or the following day. And then someone will call you and they'll say yes or no. If the answer is no, you're negative for COVID-19, then I think you can treat yourself just the way you normally do. I still think the principle of not going to work sick is a great one. So if you're sick, stay home, whether you have COVID-19 or not. If they call you and you're positive for COVID-19, then you need to self-quarantine yourself, and you need to self-quarantine for at least 14 days. There's some evidence that it's more like 21 days, but all they're asking right now is 14 days. And then your family members will become suspect if they develop a fever and cough. That'll go a long way for everyone to not spread things around amongst people we know, love, and care about.
Let's get practical, because any of us may have it, right? We could be carrying it. We don't know it. Anybody listening could. So, but we have to live. We have a life to live. We can limit activity, but what about like going to a restaurant? What about going to the grocery store? Things like that.
Yeah. Christy went to the grocery store yesterday. We're going out to eat in a restaurant tonight. I don't think this means we need to
shut down.
Yeah, become troglodytes or, you know, or hermits or I think we should live our life normally. I don't think we should need to buy extra things. I don't think we need to be fearful. I mean, in a pandemic, part of the problem is a virus, but the greater problem is fear.
Good. I agree with that 100%.
Well, I like your instincts on this, Dr. Dave. This is a serious situation, but is it being inflamed by the media and by social media?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So is it serious? Yes. Is it lethal? Yes. Are there a lot of other things in our health and cycles? Of course. I mean, think about it. 60,000 people die every year from influenza. 80,000 people die every year from alcohol poisoning. The numbers are all similar in terms of a lot of things that go on in our daily lives.
Heart disease, half the American public, heart-related diseases.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things you asked earlier was, too, what's a worst-case scenario? Worst-case scenario is what a level 4 would be, where basically the healthcare system is saturated. I think we have about 50,000 ventilators in the U.S., and I could be wrong. So I'm going to throw that number out, though. About 50,000 ventilators, about 50,000 ICU beds. So if this spreads and is much more contagious and we're not working together to avoid contact, we can put a lot of people in the hospital, in the ICU, and in respiratory distress. It's like an ARDS syndrome, adult respiratory distress syndrome. And then when our hospital systems are saturated, when our hospital workers, employees, doctors, nurses, all when they get sick, then we're going to reach a threshold where we start having a lot of extra deaths, a lot of increase in a fear factor and panic factor, some of which will be justified, you know, at that point. So we try and stay away from that.
Are you anticipating, and by the way, I'm glad you didn't come in a hazmat suit today to our interview.
That would say it all.
Right. Are you anticipating being involved in this process very soon, of seeing patients?
Here's the thing. So I work at a clinic here in town, and so I don't see hospitalized patients. We're working very hard to pre-screen patients that call and want to be seen. And we're doing a screening, and everyone has been instructed in this, and we'll probably have some phantom patients that come through to get everybody on their toes. And I think every clinic and every hospital in town is doing the same thing. We're trying to identify people who may have COVID-19, get them tested and get the answer. That's really the key to this. Mm. The key is being able to test and give you an answer so you know. And then basically for everyone to understand to go through this process, get tested, and then if you're positive, again, the vast majority of us do not have a worry. The vast majority of individuals that died in China is probably the best example, are over 80, and I think the average age was 84. So it can be bad for young and healthy people, just like flu is. But it's usually not. It's usually people that are under chemotherapy, have severe COPD or other illnesses. And interestingly, it doesn't seem to be affecting anybody under age 10.
Really helpful information, Doctor. Thank you so much. I want to save a couple of minutes as we come to the top of the hour for Pastor Skip just to give his thoughts to comfort and his perspective biblically on where we're at right now, Skip.
Okay, so first of all, you've heard it all. You can't be reckless. We have to be prepared, etc. But we have to see this beyond what it is initially. And what I mean by that is I think this is an opportunity. If you think of, here's a question. What are Christians in Wuhan, China doing? There's a lot of churches. It's a large, sizable city. I'll tell you exactly what they're doing. They're out in the streets. They're ministering to workers, medical workers, professional workers. They're taking food to those who are quarantined because of this disease. They're spreading the love of Christ in that situation. So sort of like what Martin Luther said is what they're already doing. So they're doing it at ground zero. The Church of Jesus Christ here can certainly be up to this task and use this as an opportunity. We need to tell people that our hope doesn't exist this side of heaven on this earth. Our peace and hope didn't come from being free from disease. But we really do need to address the epidemic, pandemic, that has affected every single human being on earth, and that is the sin factor. And so use this as an opportunity. People are fearful. They're naturally fearful. They naturally panic. And when they panic, they want to get together. We're social creatures. We want to hear from each other and fellowship. And so we're told to kind of self-quarantine. That heightens the fear. And that fear can be allayed. At times like this, we need a steady hand and a steady voice, a sure word from God. And the scripture is full of it. That's why preachers need to be in their pulpits preaching God's truth and telling people what God has for them and for the world.
So good. Thank you, Skip. And I know you'll be in the pulpit this Sunday.
I will be. Saturday and Sunday.
We're all glad to hear that. We certainly appreciate
Amen.
It. And I know as we close here today that let's remember the Lord uses everything to remind us of the temporary nature of this world and the permanent nature of his love.
I just want to thank you, Chip, for being here. Roxy, again, thank you for all that you do, and you've been so proactive in this. Dr. David, information is so helpful, and I know you're on the front lines. You're dealing with this as a medical clinician, as a physician. So thank you for taking time out of your day to be here.
And for those in the church here at Calvary, please keep up with our website at calvarychurch.abq or calvarychurch.org would be better. And we'll keep updates on there. This is ABQ Connect. Chip Lusko setting in for Jim Williams. He'll be back here on Monday on KNKT.